Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, if the polls are anywhere close to being right, we talk to the man who will be the next district attorney of Los Angeles, Nathan Hochman. If the polls are anywhere close to being right, we talk to the man who will be the next U.S. senator from California, Adam Schiff. And we don't know at all, in terms of the polling, who's going to be the next Speaker of the House. It could be Hakeem Jeffries if the Democrats win, and we speak to him as well. Let's start with Nathan Hochman, who is running against George Gascon, who has been the DA since 2020, one of the most controversial political figures in the country, made some major changes when he got into office, from getting rid of sentencing enhancements for guns and gangs and hate crimes and stopping prosecutors from attending parole hearings to not prosecuting juveniles with serious crimes as adults. All sorts of different changes, a real progressive agenda. And there's been a lot of pushback from day one from his prosecutors, 98% of whom wanted him to be recalled. He almost was recalled. He had 12 challengers in the primary. The one who came out of that was Nathan Hochman, former Republican, now independent, who backs Kamala Harris, who is running for this job. And recent LA Times poll has him up 30 points. So we sit down with him to talk about that, talk about his vision, talk about the major differences that he would bring to the office, talk about the Menendez case, which is in the news recently, and have some fun at the end as well. So here's our extended full conversation with Nathan Hochman. Nathan Hochman, welcome back to The Issue Is. Good to see you.
Great to be on. Thank you.
Are you surprised by the extent of the lead, 30 points?
You know, the 30-point lead reflects two things. The deep unpopularity of the current DA, who's implemented basically the most extreme pro-criminal policies in LADA history. And that 30-point lead reflects that fear and also hope. They hear when they hear about my 34 years of criminal justice experience as a prosecutor and a defense attorney, that sort of hard work middle approach of proportional accountability and my focus on deterrence, they think that approach will actually work.
Let's talk real specifically about the policy differences between the two of you, because they are pretty stark. So day one, you come in. Give me two or three things that change immediately when it comes to the way you prosecute.
So, for instance, he said that juveniles would not be prosecuted for misdemeanor offenses. So it basically means in L.A. County, if you're under 18 and you steal just under $950, Gascon is not prosecuting you. I would eliminate that policy, but not go back to the policies of mass incarceration. Extreme policies have failed. Mm-hmm. What I advocate is a middle approach, and I call it the hard middle because it requires hard work. It's the hard work of looking at each case individually, looking at the individual defendant, the defendant's background, the crime committed, and the impact on the victim to determine who the true threats are to our public safety. Those are often the repeat offenders and need to be behind bars, and the ones that aren't. A first-time nonviolent offender still has to pay their debt to society. They violate society's laws, but community service, restitution, or a diversion program if they have a serious drug addiction can very well be that punishment.
And other changes that you would implement, you would be open to the death penalty for the most extreme cases. George Gascon is never open to that. And another change is George Gascon said that prosecutors were not allowed to attend parole hearings with victims. You'd change that, right?
I would change that in a minute, and here's why. So at a parole board hearing, the murderer have a lawyer, the victim's family's there, and for decades, the prosecutor's office would send the prosecutor to be with the victim family, not just to comfort them, but the prosecutor gets unique access to the information being considered by the parole board to determine whether or not the person gets released early. Mm-hmm. If the prosecutor's not there, the victim family doesn't get that information. And I have assured those victim families that my first day, first hour, first email will reestablish the policy of having prosecutors with victim families.
Big story in the news this week is the Menendez brothers case. Their family members coming out and pleading with both you and George Gascon to set those brothers free. Here's some of what they had to say.
I cannot help but think of how things would be different if the world had known the truth back then.
Instead of being seen as victims, they were vilified.
If you become DA, how do you handle the Menendez brothers case?
Well, obviously, I'm not privy to the facts in that case. I would if I became DA. But let me give you the methodology on how I would deal with the Menendez case or any case like it. I would get deep, deep into the facts, transcripts. I'd want to actually talk to the prosecutors who prosecuted the case. I'll talk to the defense lawyers. I'd want to actually read the expert reports on both sides. Happy to meet with victims on both sides and get their input, meet with the defense lawyers, and find out what the best arguments that are being made by both sides. And only at that point would I be in a position to actually weigh in on the case. George Gascon follows the political winds. He hasn't talked to the prosecutors who've been dealing with this case for over a year and a half. He is not steeped in the facts. So whatever decision he makes is not going to be a fact-based decision. It'll most likely be a political decision.
Let's talk a little bit more about you and your campaign. Some of the viewers on the statewide show will remember you because you ran for Attorney General of California as a Republican. We've got an image of you speaking at the state party convention back then. And we know that you endorsed Kamala Harris for president this time around.
If I had to choose in this race between a former prosecutor and a convicted felon, I'm going to choose the former prosecutor.
There are some critics that view that as cynical, convenient timing for you, and it's just sort of a crass political move. What do you say to those folks who feel like that was convenient for you?
So what I've tried to explain overall is what my position has been in my entire political journey. I spent the first 20 years, I've basically been a centrist my whole life. I spent the first 20 years as a Democrat, next 20 years as a Republican. Now I'm running as an independent for a nonpartisan position where party affiliation won't even be on the ballot.
But you did say the way you feel about it. I mean, and a lot of people have made a big deal about the fact of the way you feel about it.
You know, and I did that because Gascon has introduced politics into the DA's race because he's not running on his experience. He's not running on his record. And he's tried to politicize this race and use you folks in the media to do it. I wasn't going to let Gascon define me.
Last time around, George Gascon got a whole lot of support from the Democratic Party. This time around, not so much. Last time around, you ran against Rob Bonta for Attorney General. We want to put up on the screen what Bonta put out about Gascon in 2020, essentially endorsing him, celebrating him. So I recently asked Bonta about that at the Democratic National Convention. Here's what he said.
Any thoughts on the LA District Attorney's race?
I think the people are going to decide what they want. They have two choices.
So any endorsement coming on that one?
No endorsement.
Okay. Coming.
What do you make of that?
So what I make of it is that 2020 is a whole lot different than 2024 for George Gascon. Back then, he got the endorsement of Mira Garcetti. Mira Bass has endorsed no one in this race. Back then, he got the endorsement of Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom's on the sidelines. Back then, he got the endorsement of Senator Kamala Harris. Vice President Kamala Harris is on the sidelines. So I believe that the entire a good chunk of the Democratic establishment sees what you and I see and the viewer sees, that Gascon has failed.
Yeah, because politically, sort of the way that Gascon could potentially win this race would be the cavalry to get behind him and have all those leaders try to cast you as a Trumpy kind of guy and make it all about the Democratic Party. But they haven't done that. And for you is the idea of no endorsement, basically an endorsement of you.
I think that no endorsement is a loud statement when they previously endorsed Gascon in 2020. And I think that's in large part because folks are focused on safety, because the word is out that Gascon has failed and November 5th is coming up quickly.
Gascon has been busy on TikTok with some creative videos, I guess. Here's one of them. I'm working late 'cause I'm a singer. What do you think of his social media game?
Wow. I mean, that is, if you can't run on your experience and you can't run on your record and trying to politicize the race hasn't worked either, if you got to resort to what I just saw on TikTok, man, oh, man. I mean, it's a reason that we have hit the actual maximum, which has never been hit in fundraising, $2.511 million. And Gascon had on cash on hand on September 17th, $46,000.
But he does have TikTok. So we're going to end with something fun called Personal Issues, which you've played on this show before, to get to know you and some of your favorites. You ready? We put 30 seconds up on the clock. First thing that comes to mind, okay?
Okay.
What is the TV show that you're binging right now?
TV show, nobody wants this. We just binged that.
Okay. Book you most recently read?
Revenge of the Tipping Point.
Who is your favorite Dodger player?
Gotta go with Shohei.
Favorite way to relax?
Probably playing any sport involving a racket. Tennis, pickleball, paddle tennis.
And what is the best Bruce Springsteen song?
I'm old school, born in the USA.
Our thanks to Nathan Hochman. Now to our conversation with Adam Schiff, who is running for United States Senate against Steve Garvey. We've barely heard from Steve Garvey, no public events recently. We offered a similar opportunity to him, and they have not committed to it so far. Schiff has such a big lead, over 20 points in most polls, that he has been busy not really campaigning for himself, but campaigning for others, on the road for Kamala Harris around the country, on the road for U.S. Senate candidates in different states, but mostly here in California for Democrats in close House races. And this week we met up with him as he was campaigning for Derek Tran in Westminster. There was a business roundtable there that he was a part of. And after that, he spoke with us with an exclusive one-on-one. Congressman Adam Schiff, welcome back to The Issue Is.
Great to be with you.
You were with us on our first show. You also launched your campaign on our show.
Great to make the announcement on your show.
Which was the opening argument. So now as we approach the end of this campaign, what's the closing argument?
Well, the closing argument is California really needs a senator that can do a couple really important things. One, that knows how to deliver for the state, who can get things done, who can work with people across the aisle and deliver, whether that's more affordable housing, more affordable childcare, bring down healthcare costs. But it also means we need a senator who can take on the big fights when they're necessary to protect our democracy, to restore things like reproductive freedom. And that's what I've done during my career. That's what I'll do for the whole state.
Are you surprised that we haven't seen that more of Steve Garvey? I mean, you're all over the state doing events almost every day. We hardly see him.
I have been surprised. I've, you know, gotten used to the fact that he's running what they in the 18th century called a front porch campaign, where you essentially waited on your front porch for people to come to you. It's very old school style of campaigning, but my feeling is I want to be out there. I want to be meeting with people. I want to be hearing from different communities what challenges they're facing. So I'm doing a lot of traveling around the state.
My stall got broken twice this year already.
Here, one of the things we were hearing about was concerns about crime. Have you made up your mind in terms of Prop 36?
So vote yes if you want to increase the penalties on shoplifting and drug possession. Vote no if you want to keep things the way they are.
And in terms of the LA County DA's race?
No, I'm going to sit down at the end of the month, as I think most Californians do, and go through all the ballot measures. I'll be weighing, in terms of Prop 36, a couple things. One is I think that you should be able to aggregate multiple thefts to create a felony. If people are repeatedly engaging in what would be a misdemeanor, it should become a felony. I don't think that we should treat anyone who has a substance abuse problem as a felon, simply because they're addicted to a substance in the absence of committing other crimes. So I'm going to be studying that and seeing what the legislature has done and what remains to be done. But I really think, as I mentioned during the roundtable today, what we needed to do most forcefully to deal with crime is we need more community police, and we need to ensure that people that are conducting these crimes, committing these crimes, are caught and they face certain consequences.
Have you made a decision in terms of Hochman versus Gascon for LA County DA?
I'm staying out of that. Long-term friendship with Nathan Hochman. We've been friends for over 30 years, and so I'm staying not only out of that race, but out of all the DA races in the state.
I know you're also working on the presidential race. You've been traveling around the country on that. Donald Trump was just in California talking about you.
You're going to have Shifty Adam Schiff, one of the true. I know him well. He is a bad person. He's a sick person. Not a stupid guy. He's one of the least attractive human beings I think I've ever seen. He's got the smallest neck I've ever seen.
Why do you think, given as much as you detest him, the race is so close?
Well, first of all, I clearly live rent-free in that guy's head. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty scary place to live. I could just tell you that. It is astonishing to me that someone who has been indicted as many times, convicted as many times as Donald Trump, is competitive in any kind of a race. Not to mention his leading and inciting a violent attack on the Capitol. That should be a disqualifier in my book from being dog catcher, let alone President of the United States. But we're a divided country, and it is very close. It's going to come down to the wire. It will come down to, as it so often does, who has the better ground game, who can get their people out to the polls. I'm optimistic. I think the Harris team has run a flawless campaign, and that they've got good ground operations. And most particularly, they have energized young people who had been very apathetic about voting. Now they're engaged, and I think that will make a big difference.
And finally,
the House will be decided by Californians.
California is so important when it comes to House races. Can you talk about your message to people, why it matters, your sort of closing pitch, not only for your race, but for the House races that you're going to?
In California, we will have the decisive voice in what the majority looks like in the House of Representatives. There are more competitive House races in California than any other state. We have 6 or 7 of them. So Californians, what I would say to you, you're going to decide who controls the House of Representatives. That means you're going to decide who's making these decisions on these critical issues important to you. Get out and vote.
And you're going to decide who is in the U.S. Senate representing California. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, Congressman.
Thank you. And I would be honored to have the support of your viewers.
All right. Garvey and made a similar offer. So far, they have not accepted our invite, but we hope that they will. From Congressman Schiff, let's talk more about what he is talking about, which is these close congressional races. We don't know who's going to be the Speaker of the House. If the Republicans get it, it'll probably be Mike Johnson, the current Speaker. If the Democrats get it, it'll be Hakeem Jeffries. Jeffries and Johnson, both in Southern California recently. Here's our report from the field talking about both.
Good to be in the Antelope Valley today.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
Jeffries!
Rallying volunteers in Palmdale for Democratic congressional candidate George Whiteside. He's hoping to unseat former fighter pilot and current incumbent Republican Congressman Mike Garcia.
Thank you. Look forward to it, Alex.
We speak exclusively with Jeffries about his focus on California.
You could be anywhere. Why are you here?
Well, California is an incredibly important battleground state.
Right now, the House is incredibly close, and California has at least 5 toss-up races.
Jeffries is not the only congressional leader in Southern California on this day.
Republican Speaker Mike Johnson in Corona, campaigning for Congressman Ken Calvert, but no media cameras were invited. Whitesides did talk with us in the field and in our studio.
It's going to be really close, Alex.
Recent polls show a 1-point race with Garcia, who also declined her interview request this week.
We're in the margin of error right now, which means that it's going to come down to the margin of effort.
This district includes Lancaster, Palmdale, and Santa Clarita. In 2020, Garcia won it by just 333 votes.
Go through this with them, right?
This weekend, volunteers knocking on over 10,000 doors to support Whitesides, a former NASA chief of staff and Virgin Galactic CEO.
I'm a space guy, but I'm a father and a problem solver.
I am pro-life without exception.
Whiteside's targeting Garcia on abortion rights.
I am strongly in favor of a woman's right to control her own body.
Garcia highlighting Whiteside's past support of the LA County DA.
His financial support for George Gascon has caused that crime to continue and worsen.
What's your take on George Gascon, and are you supporting him in his reelection?
I don't support him. I'm voting for Nathan Hochman.
Mike Garcia voted against certifying the election.
Jeffries says Garcia undermined our democracy on January 6th, 2021.
Undermining our democracy means undermining the ability of the voters of the Antelope Valley and the voters of the state of California to control their own fate.
Jeffries also campaigning in Orange County with Democrat Derek Tran.
3-2-1.
Congressman Adam Schiff also joining Tran for multiple Orange County stops this week.
It's a treat, Alex, to be here with Derek. I think he's one of the finest candidates in the whole country.
Tran is the son of Vietnamese immigrants, a military veteran and father of three, hoping to defeat Republican incumbent Congresswoman Michelle Steele in a district that includes Fullerton, Buena Park, and Westminster.
We'd love to hear from you.
Tran hosting a roundtable with business owners in Little Saigon.
My store got broken twice this year already.
When the discussion turns to crime, Tran talks about criminals breaking into the pharmacy he owns.
We need to do more to help our local law enforcement.
When they talk about homelessness, Tran shares that his own aunt is currently living on the street due to untreated mental illness.
Seeing the struggles of my aunt, my mom, trying to find her, trying to give her money, that's something that's personal, and it's hard to see. But that's also where I recognize there's this humanity part of all of this.
Steele also declined our interview request this week. Her spokesperson says, quote, Michelle wins because Southern California voters trust her to always fight for lower taxes, less crime, and to stand up to the Chinese Communist Party. A recent poll shows Tran slightly up, but it's very close.
The Democratic House will continue to put people over politics.
By the way, Congressman Mike Garcia will be with us in studio next week, the Republican. As we get closer and closer to Election Day, of course, a lot of people have already voted. You can vote already. Vote.ca.gov if you want more information on where to vote. Next week on The Issue Is, we will be talking more about all of this and hopefully talking about the Dodgers in the World Series. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Alex Michelson. See you soon.